All right, if you would this morning, turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 12, Isaiah chapter number 12. And I preach a lot from the book of Isaiah. I love this prophet. I love the things that he has to say, and I love how it pertains to the nation of Israel then, and how it pertains to the nation of Israel now, and how it pertains to the church now. I mean, there's so much in the book of Isaiah. One of my favorite passages, of course, is there in Isaiah 6. When Isaiah got to the point where he saw himself, Isaiah chapter number 5, he saw everybody else. You remember, you read through Isaiah 5, he's casting all those woes on everybody. And then he gets to chapter number 6, and he sees God high and lifted up and sitting on his throne and his train filling the temple, and he sees the power of God and the seraphims flying around crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then he sees himself when he says, "Woe is me. I mean, I'm undone. I'm unclean." And he saw himself, and then it got to the point where God was looking for somebody to go and to speak for him. And Isaiah, after he saw God and after he saw himself for who he was, all he saw was, "I got to do something for God, and God is asking, and I'm literally jumping up and down, raising my hand, waving, saying, 'Here am I, God, send me.'" That's always been my heart's desire, my prayer. And I fell him bitterly every day. And the little things that he's sending me to do, I fall short. I have not arrived. I'm not where I need to be. But I do have that heart within me to say, "Here am I, God, send me." I just, many times as you do, I fail to go to when he's sending me to the little thing. And when I'm focused on the big thing, let's not forget we're here to be sent each and every day to what God would have us to do. But here, as you look in Isaiah chapter number 12, it says in verse number 1, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, 'O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw waters out of the well of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, 'Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.'" Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your blessings. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being called. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that, God, I know you're going to do a work among the Turkish people in Bulgaria and Romania, and that I can go and know that, Lord, it's not me, it's you. And I thank you for that. And God, you're still looking to do a work everywhere around us. And you're looking to do a work here in this community. And you're looking to do a work through this church. And I thank you for that. And God, I pray this morning that you'd speak to a heart, that God, you'd encourage somebody. And Lord, if there's someone here lost, God, that you'd save them by your grace. Lord, we need you today. I need you to speak. I need you to move. I need, God, for you to touch me and speak through me, and God, to fill me, unctionize me. God, I need it this morning. Lord, I'm nothing without you. God, most of all, may you be magnified, lifted up, and glorified, and because you alone are worthy. I love you today. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you for being my friend. Lord, I need you. Lord, speak. I pray in your name. Amen and amen. As I said, I really love the book of Isaiah. There's so many things in it, and a lot of prophecy, a lot of things that we can look at now and pertain to now, and especially just right in the chapter before, chapter number 12. You can look and see that it's dealing with the nation of Israel, and it's dealing with the nation of Israel in a time that's yet to come. When we're talking about it prophetically, it's talking about the time that's to come with the nation of Israel concerning the tribulation, concerning them coming back to God. Now, we right now are in, it's the time of the Gentiles. It's the time for the time of grace, and we're getting in because of the grace of God that is being preached to the Gentile. You can read there in the New Testament where Paul talks about that God has not forsaken Israel. He's not put away Israel, that they're blinded for a time so that that Gentile bride can get grafted into that pure olive tree, that wild olive branch can be grafted in. And that's what's happening with us now. And I say a hearty amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad that they're blinded for our sake. That's why you're here this morning. There might be a saved Jew here. I don't know everybody, but most of us are probably Gentiles. We are in because of the fact that God is allowing us to come in, that He's allowing us to be saved, that the grace of God is extended to the world. For the whosoever, just like those Turks in Bulgaria, they enter in the same way we do through the grace of God, through the blood of Christ. We've literally been grafted in into His side. That was rent for each and every one of us. I thank God for that. And we see this in chapter number 11, where it's dealing with the nation of Israel coming back to God. It talks about it gets to the point where they're being brought back and they're being coming into a time of peace. There's those wonderful words talking about the lion laying down with the lamb and just that time of peace that only Christ can bring. And there's not going to be peace in Israel until Christ comes. I mean, we can pray for the peace of Israel, but Israel is only going to find peace when the Lord comes. And this is the time that we're talking about here in chapter number 12. It says, and in that day shalt thou say, O Lord, I will praise thee. I mean, it's come to a point where Israel has seen what God has done, and they're praising the Lord because He's done it, and they're rejoicing because of what He's done. And the first thing that He says, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. And we can see it and understand it, that God is speaking, and God has moved in a way that we are getting in because that He has turned from Israel. And really, they went through a lot of hardships. We know in the times of World War II with Hitler and the Holocaust, all they went through, and now they're in that little plot of land where their enemies are all around them, and they're fighting and struggling all the time, yet they're still God's people. They're still God's chosen people. They're still the apple of His eye. I mean, they're still God's. I mean, don't make no mistake about it. There's no country in the world that would stand against them. I believe the Bible is true when it says those that will bless Israel, God will bless them, and those that are curse Israel, God will curse them. That's why all those little nations around them, that fertile land of Israel, is surrounded by desert. They struggle, and they're in poverty. They battle all the time because they've stood against God, and that God has blessed this nation because we've stood with Israel. And the moment we pull back on Israel, God will pull back on us, and we'll fall like a deck of cards. I mean, they're still God's people. And I thank God for that. If He'd back up on His covenant with them and promises to them, He'd back out on us. But He's not going to do that. But here we see that they've realized how they've been an enemy of God, how they've been against God, and how God has been angry with them. But it comes to a point here in chapter number 11 where God has turned from that, and they've been restored, and God has blessed them, and God has been good to them. And now they see, boy, you were angry with us, but now things are good. I want you to know this morning, as a child of God, if you've been born again, before you got saved, you were far worse condition of the nation of Israel, because you were, as I mentioned already several times this morning, you didn't have a covenant, you didn't have a promise, you didn't have God in this world, you were alone in this world, headed for hell, headed for judgment, and yet somehow, some way, God sought you out in your sin and loved you while you were yet a sinner, and Christ died for you and washed your sins away, and now you're no longer an enemy of God. I mean, that's what they realize first of all. And that's what we've got to come to understand. God is for us. God is not against us. God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us and shed His blood to wash away our sins. He'll stand with us and be with us. Sure, we'll fall short. Sure, we'll mess up. But God is not your enemy this morning. God's not looking to put you under His thumb. God's not looking to destroy you. God's looking to give you everything you need to make it. And sometimes what we need to make it is chastisement. Sometimes it's difficult roads that we have to go down. But He's going to give us everything we need to make it. His anger is turned away. He said, "Thou comfortest me." If that don't comfort you, what will? The anger of God is turned away. The world looks at God as an angry God up in heaven who's looking to send everybody to hell. I know the Bible teaches us that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And he was so serious about that He placed the sins of the world upon His own darling Son on Calvary and judged Him and put it on Him and let Him suffer and bleed and die. Let Him bear the sins of the world. He done all that so that we wouldn't have to. And all He asks for us to do is believe and trust. Comfort is in that. You find comfort this morning. Are you saved? Or do you have comfortless nights? Where you just struggle and worry and fret over the fact that if you wouldn't make it through the night, where you'd end up. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to bear that burden. There can be comfort in your heart because you're not an enemy of God. You're not against God because while you were yet a sinner that Christ died for you, and God is saying, "I'm making a way for you to simply trust in Him." There's comfort in being a child of God. Why can I pillow my head at night and go to sleep? I know if my last breath was drawn during the night, I'd wake up looking in the face of Jesus. Well, that'll give you a peaceful night's sleep. No frets, no worries. That's where Israel is now in chapter number 12. We were against you. You were angry with us. Now we've got peace in our souls and in our hearts. We have salvation. Look at what it says in verse 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. I mean, I thank God for the day that I got saved. I got delivered from hell. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I mean, I'm glad that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have to worry about hell. I mean, it hasn't entered my mind in years because I know that I've been born again. I've been saved. And it wasn't any works that I did or any goodness within me. I know it's all in Him and through Him and by Him. And because of that, I can have peace in my heart that I'm not going to hell. I've been saved. The life preserver was thrown to me, and I've been delivered from hell and wrath and the punishment of God, because we're all condemned. The Bible tells us we're all under judgment. We're all headed for hell apart from Christ, but I'm not. Amen. Only one I know about this morning is me. I know how my wife lives. I believe she's saved. Only one I know for sure about is me. I can't believe your preacher's saved. I don't know 100%. There's been preachers get saved. Only one I know about is me. I'm saved this morning. I'm not going to hell. I received the gift that He threw out there willingly so that I could be saved. And that's all I've got to trust in. Preacher, I mean, I've heard some preachers that made me feel lost. I mean, some can preach in a way and so effective, and I thank God for them. I mean, we need to check up. We need to examine ourselves. And if they can preach in a way and they can get me to feeling lost, because there's some days I feel like I'm thinking, "Oh Lord, how could I even be saved?" I mean, and then I remember what I did. There was one years ago, there was an old Southern Baptist preacher, evangelist, I'll call his name, don't matter, Bailey Smith. I mean, he was a good preacher. I mean, he preached a message on wheat and tares. And every time I heard it, I was thinking, "Lord, which am I?" I mean, because he preached it so well. And then I went back to what I did. And then I just thought, what else could I do other than trust in Him? There's nothing else I can do. I threw myself in that life preserver that he gave me. You see, but if you read that verse of Scripture, he's not only giving you salvation, he is salvation. He is my salvation. It's only him. You see, if he gave a way where this was the way to salvate, this is the way I'll save you, that would have been great. But what he's saying is, the way I save you is me. Just completely trusting and giving your heart and your life and everything over to me, giving it all completely to me. I am salvation. He's my Lord and my salvation. It's not anything else. It's not any ability we have. It's not any work that we do. It's not any kind of accomplishment that we can obtain. It's not the fact that I'm going to the mission field or that I preach the gospel. It's not the fact that I read my Bible X amount of times or pray. All those things are good. All those things are wonderful. But my life preserver is my salvation. And he's my Savior. The one who threw it in is also the life preserver. I can't explain that, but he is all of it. Every bit is it's centered in on him. There the writer says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in that because he is my salvation. It's not that he's going to just give me salvation. He is my salvation. My Lord is my salvation. Jesus Christ is the one who offered it to me, and he is the one who is it. I mean, that's amazing to me. That means I don't have to look anywhere else. And if you're looking somewhere else, if you're looking to a church, if you're looking to some ability, maybe to speak in tongues or do this or do that, that's going to save me. Or maybe I can be baptized. That's going to save me. No, all those things will fall away. Your only hope for salvation is what we teach those Turks. You look to Esau, you look to Jesus. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only one that can save you. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in crying out to a false god. And no, it's just believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he alone can save you. He is our salvation. And if you trusted in anything else this morning, if you trusted in going to church, if you trusted in reading your Bible and saving you, if you trusted in going to Sunday school, if you trusted in anything else other than complete faith and trust in the Lamb of God to wash your sins away, and then you're lost this morning. But it's simple. You can be born again just simply that letting him be your salvation. And when you do that, you can be like David, even when he was in his sin, when he sinned with Bathsheba, when he became contrite in his heart. See, there's always a man after God's own heart. But he failed bitterly. And he fell as far as you can go. I mean, but his heart was broken. And he cried out to God, not to restore his salvation. And you can fall bitterly. I mean, you can fall as far as you can fall. But you can be restored. If you have that contrite heart and you can get back to God and he don't restore the salvation, because that verse says you can draw waters, get the joy of your salvation. And I'm grateful that there's wells to draw from. But you can have joy in your heart. David failed. But he got his joy restored when he come back to God. And that joy of salvation was there. And there's so much to draw from. I mean, there's so much to get from our salvation. I mean, there is a joy knowing you're going to heaven. I mean, I talked about Ahmet during Sunday school. There's joy for me knowing that one day that I'm going to pass from this world unto the next. I'm going to be walking down a street of gold one day, and there's going to be a little gypsy man about that tall greet me, and I'm going to see him off in the distance. He's going to come running, and he's going to kiss me on both cheeks again, and probably in heaven he'll have teeth, but I thank God he'll kiss me again, and I'll see him again, and we'll rejoice in heaven around the throne of God. I mean, that's joy of salvation. You're going to heaven when you die. I mean, we're all going to die. We're all going to face it one day. We're all going to step from this world into the next. But because we have Jesus Christ, and because we've got that salvation, he's my Lord and my salvation, I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going to hell. I mean, it'd be enough not to go to hell. You just die, sleep in the grave for all eternity, not go to hell, not burn for all eternity. I mean, that's probably would be a lot better than I deserve. I mean, just not to suffer for all eternity. I don't have to go to hell. I love that song. We had my wife's cousin traveling with us for a little while. He's from South Florida, bless his heart. And they just don't have services down there like we have up here. I mean, we took him to Greer Baptist Camp Meeting. We took him to Taylorsville Camp Meeting. We took him to a Foothills Youth Meeting. I mean, and just preaching the house down. Big 200-member youth choir singing. But every meeting we went to, they sung that song that they sang, I'm Not Going to Hell. He'd never heard it before. And then we were up in camp up there, and Stacy Piercy, who wrote it, sung it again. And they sang, boy, they sing a lot about not going to hell. And I said, yeah, it sure is good not to have to go there. I mean, that's the joy that we have. We're under condemnation. We're deserving of hell. We don't have to go to hell. And we get to go to heaven. That ought to get us to church. I mean, if you're struggling going to church, you're not going to hell and going to heaven. That's enough to go to church on. That's enough to be faithful for. That's enough to serve Him for. But that other joy and that we can draw from the wells of salvation is we have a God that's here with us now. We've got a Comforter. We've got the Holy Ghost living within us. That when we face the trials and tribulations of life, that He's there with us to comfort us and to guide us. When we need to make a decision, He's there to speak to us. When we need to be dealt with sin in our life, He's there to correct us. I mean, He's there to be with us each and every step of the way. That's a well to draw from. We've got something that the other religions don't have. We've got a living God within us to guide us and direct us and to comfort us and to be there through each and every trial and tribulation. I mean, we can draw from that, and that's a well that'll keep us going. Amen. And oh, there's so many other wells that we can draw from that I don't have time to get into. I mean, just being a child of God is a blessing. Now, I think about your pastor. I mean, he's looking to go out to North and South Dakota, and that's not a cheap trip. I've been out there. Well, we rode out that way before, and long driving, a lot of gas, places to stay, not a cheap trip. And somehow, some way, God put it on a saint's heart to pay His way. Boy, God's good that way. I've got so many stories to tell of God just providing their wells to draw from. And there's wells to draw from that maybe the memory of it's not all that great. I'm losing that little boy in Bulgaria. It's not a great memory. Are you drawing from those wells? They're there. You're a child of God. They're there for you. Now, if you're lost this morning, you don't have that well to draw from. You're in a precarious position because you're without God in the world. You don't have anything to draw on. All you've got to draw on is this world, and this world will ruin you. This world will destroy you. But you've got a God who's waiting on you with open arms saying, here I am, just trust and believe in me, and I'll give you these wells. Now, church, we've got those wells, and we ought to draw from them with joy. And then we ought to just praise Him for it. One of the things that I have difficulty with in my own life and I'm disappointed in myself with in raising my own children, and I'm just going to be honest with you this morning, is that I, at times, being an independent Baptist preacher, with my children, I put a set of guidelines upon them to live to. And I'm not saying that in itself is wrong. I mean, you've got to have a standard. You don't have a standard, you have no standard. So you've got to have a standard. But I feel like I've failed at times with my own children, and you may feel the same way once I explain this, that I failed at just getting to the point where they just want to do what they do because they just love God because of what He's done. So that's what Isaiah is saying to Israel, we were against God. God was angry with us. Now everything is being restored. And now the lion is laying down with the lamb. There's peace. Now we're back right with God. And now we're in fellowship with God. And He done it all for us. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's the one that does it all. And for the Gentile, we've got that, should have that joy more than anybody. We didn't have God. We didn't have any of that stuff. And God has made a way for us to be saved, for us to have a relationship with Him, for us to have a home in heaven, for us to be delivered from hell. And that's what we ought to teach our children. Look, you ought to live right and do right, but I want you young people to know God loved you so much that Christ died for you to wash your sins away. That ought to be enough. That ought to be enough to get us to worship Him and live for Him. He done it all so that we could go to heaven one day, and He gave us all these wells to drink from and to draw from. And if we just go to Him and tell the lost and dying world, that's my desire for Bulgaria. That's my desire for the Turks, to go back and tell them there's a man named Jesus who came to this world and suffered and bled and died on a cross after He did no wrong. And He did that because you Turks one day would curse Him and not want God and be against God. Yet He loved you so much that He shed His blood to wash their sins away. That's what I want to tell them. And that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Do you love Him because of just what He did? You look at this chapter number 12. That's the message that's being preached. Look at what He's done. Draw wells from those wells of salvation and tell it. Why are we so silent with the gospel? Why are we so meek with the story we have to tell? Is it because we really just don't believe it? We really hadn't just trusted in it, and it's just not real to us? And are we not drawing from those wells enough, and we're so dry that we don't have nothing to show? Get to the wells and then tell the story of how He died for you and how He delivered you and how He saved your soul. You say, well, I don't know the Bible that well. You know when He washed your sins away. You know when He delivered you from death into life. You know when He saved you from hell and set you in heaven. Just tell that story. That's enough. That's enough to keep us going. I love the Lord this morning. I don't know if I love Him. I know I don't love Him like He loves me. I know I don't show it enough. But boy, we've got joy that we can draw from. It says, sing unto the Lord. Make mention that His name is exalted. And I love that verse 5. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. He's done excellent things. Everybody knows it. Not a lot want to admit it. I mean, He created this world. I mean, everybody knows it. Some will say that He didn't, but they really know it. He's done wonderful things. He's done wonderful things for you. Are you making it known? Are you shouting abroad how He's delivered you and how He's helped you? I mentioned this morning, we need help in Bulgaria. Somebody like to go with us and tell them? So, oh, that couldn't be me. Oh, it could be. If you just draw from that well, and it just bubble up in you and just have to come out, and you'd have to tell it. Or is it you're in a situation where you're just not a child of God? That last verse said, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. You can only shout about that if He's in the midst of you. If you don't have God, if you don't have any peace in your soul, if you're not really saved, you know nothing about any of this. And there may be someone here this morning that's in that position. You know a little bit about church. You know a little bit about how you're supposed to act and all those things. I learned that as a child. I was raised in church. I knew all the lingo. And I knew all the things I was supposed to do. But I was in my 20s before I got saved. In a mess in my life before I really got saved. Until I was really able to draw from those wells. They're here for you if you're saved. They're waiting for you if you're lost. And I urge you this morning, I would have no message to tell. I'd have no reason to return to Bulgaria if it wasn't for the fact that one day I saw the Lord and He saved me. And He changed this life. And I ain't always been what I ought to be. But I'm nothing like I was. And I'm nothing like I'm going to be. One day this corruptible will put on incorruption. One day this defiled will be undefiled. I'll be like He is. And I'll see Him face to face. But until that day, I'm here. And what's going to keep me going and what is going to keep you going are those wells. Just draw from them. Remember where He brought you from. I think that's the problem. Some of us have short memories. You can't remember that lost feeling. That being feeling like you hung out over hell. It'd be good if He'd just let us rock back over it every once in a while. Refresh us. And put a fire within us. So why do you want to leave your family and go back overseas? It's because of those wells. Because of what He's done. Because of what He's going to do. I can trust Him to do a work that I'm not able to do. And you can trust Him to do a work in your life that you don't feel like you're able to do. Just keep going back to the wells.